Hey everybody, welcome back to the Morning Lineup Podcast. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz. I'm joined by Richard Justice, and with not much happening in the free agent market right now, but there was quite a bit happening in the arbitration market on Friday across MLB. Of course, 1 o'clock Eastern time on Friday was the arbitration deadline. And Richard, we had some pretty big news coming out of Toronto. Josh Donaldson and the Blue Jays agreed to a record deal. $23 million for 2018 for Josh Donaldson in his final round of arbitration. He'll, of course, be a free agent 1 year from now. 32 years old, coming off of a season that started slowly, missed some time with injury, and then, boy, did he finish strong. He had a 302, 410, 698 slash line with 22 home runs in his last 227 plate appearances. And that, of course, is on top of, you know, the MVP credentials, the great numbers he's put up for several years there in Toronto. So, Richard, I think he even blew past the projections. We're already calling for him to break a record here, but I think he even blew past the projections.
Yeah, and we thought next offseason would be Josh Donaldson's nice payday. $23 million, that's a $6 million raise. You know, and he said today that Friday that it was a compliment to have his name mentioned so frequently in trade discussions and all that. Here's what I'm wondering on that, and I think you and I would agree. It's the smart thing to settle, even if he, you know, the projected arbitration number was $21 million. You pay a couple extra million. I think the one thing we've learned from arbitration through the years is avoid the hearing room at all costs. You know, last year, 156 players filed, only five went to arbitration because feelings tend to get hurt in that room. Yeah. And there are agents who want their players to sit there and hear everything a team says. And it's when you're arguing against a guy, you're giving a pitcher unearned runs, a ton of stuff happens in the room that you don't want to happen. But I'm wondering this, Castro. Josh has said many times, he loves Toronto. He loves the vibe of the city. He loves the way the fans have turned out. You know, and while he's a kid from the South and all of that, do you see the Jays, Mark Shapiro, being able to sign him long term? Or do you think this inevitably is headed toward free agency next offseason?
Yeah, we were talking about that on a Toronto radio station having on the other day. We were talking about that, and I just don't see it. I don't. When I talk to those guys in Toronto, I get the sense that number one, they want to do right by their fan base in the here and now. And it's been so supportive, obviously, the last couple of years, over 3 million in attendance and just reinvigorated that country's interest in the Blue Jays. And they don't take that lightly. But at the same time, they also acknowledge that, look, they have one of the oldest rosters in baseball. They have a farm system that still needs a lot of work. It's got, you know, two really high caliber players at the top end and Vlad Guerrero Jr. and Bo Bichette. And they recognize there's a transition that has to happen here. And so I don't know that Donaldson fits in with that transition. You know, I just think that, you know, maybe financially they probably could make it work. I think that's kind of a sleeping giant payroll wise, but I don't know, man. I think it might be better served to take this guy into the season as clearly, I mean, at this point, it seems like that's what they're going to do, despite, you know, a lot of interest in Donaldson in the trade market. Take him into the season, see what happens in the season. If they fall out of contention this year, obviously he's a trade chip midseason for them. And I would expect them to explore his trade value at that point, because I just don't know how you can go down that road with a 32-year-old, you know, third baseman for a long-term contract and the figure it would take to make that happen. I also find it interesting. I mean, think about $23 million, and this is 1 year, of course, but what would Donaldson command in this free agent market right now? It's hard to know. It's hard to know what anybody commands in this free agent market right now, because hardly anybody signed, but, you know, 23, he might've done better in arbitration. I'm talking about on a 1 year basis than average annual value in free agency right now. It's hard to say.
Yeah, and he's 32 years old, and the best thing we can say about Josh Donaldson is also one of the worst things you can say. He plays like a strong safety in the NFL. Every game is game seven of the playoffs. If you're a fan, you love it. If you're a teammate, you love it. He's He's intense. His backstory is great. You know, he was a catcher at Auburn, then moved to third base. And then I think the Cubs drafted him as a catcher. The A's took him on a backfield and said, hey, look, let's find out if this guy can really play third base. And he became a great third baseman. Now, I have joked with him in the past. I said, I tell people, you could play in the NBA. You're such an athlete that you could play in the NBA if you set your mind to it. And he goes, well, maybe MMA, you know, something like that, Ultimate Fighting Machine or something. I don't know about the NBA. But the point is, he's a guy you want on your team. And I think from the moment Mark Shapiro got there, it's like you said, he knew there was a day coming, that there wasn't going to be a Bautista, and that Josh, at some point, even though Mark has said we should have a top 10 payroll, there's a point where you can't pay him anymore. And when you have these two great prospects, Bichette and Guerrero, ready, that the, and then you're, you know, the top of your rotation, Sanchez, the back of your bullpen, Osuni, you have lots of young talent. But you're right, the part that would make give me pause would be, well, what is Josh going to get? You know, I mean, what is Eric Hosmer? Eric Hosmer is still unsigned. Mike Moustakas is still unsigned. These aren't old guys. JD Martinez is unsigned. Josh is going to be, you know, what, 5 years older than Hosmer by the time he reaches free agency. So it's an interesting thing. But hats off to the Blue Jays for getting it done, because now if you can go get one more hitter for the lineup or piece something together and your pitching staff stays healthy, who knows? Maybe you got a chance to hang with the big boys in the AL East.
This is more of a big picture thought, and maybe it doesn't pertain to Donaldson in particular, but you know, I wonder if in some cases teams are doing themselves a disservice the way maybe I'm getting swept up in the moment of the way this free agent market has played out, or has not played out, I should say, but maybe you're doing yourself a disservice to sign a guy early, extend a guy early without seeing where the market leads, you know. It's so hard to say right now, because you know, numbers have seemed to be tamed down quite a bit. You look at what Jay Bruce just got with the Mets. That seems like a really attractive deal for the Mets. 3 years and $39 million for a very productive player. You know, that was a guy who 5-10 years ago makes a tremendous amount more in free agency, I think, than in this environment where power has really been, you know, depreciated. So
yeah, somebody said the other day, or maybe it was last year, somebody said, you know, if you wait, it might have been Steve Phillips on the radio, I don't know. If you wait for a logical deal in free agency, you're going to finish second on every player, meaning you have to get out of your comfort zone. But what we've seen this offseason is nobody's going, I mean, everyone is going to, so far, every team that's talking to a free agent has said, you know, this is where we are ready to go. So we're ready to go 3 years. You want 6 years. Sorry, we can't do that. And it's just, you know, like we talked the other day, like we, I think we both agreed, we may be seeing a sea change in the game this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking, like, how good does Justin Upton's decision look right now to not opt out with the Angels, but to just renegotiate? And he had a fifth year tacked on, and, you know, the money was backloaded in that deal. But we might look up at the end of this, you know, offseason, beginning of the season, and say, boy, that guy did pretty well for himself, really, because who knows if he would have made as much in free agency as the value of what was remaining on his contract. It was like $22 million a year or something like that for 4 years. So it's a weird, you know, recalculation going out there in the marketplace. But yeah, Donaldson, obviously, he now, you know, at the top of the list in arbitration history. Prince Fielder's $15.5 million contract had been the largest one-year payout for a position player in arbitration, and David Price's $19.75 million salary had been the highest in, you know, overall, obviously for a pitcher as well. So
years from now, when Josh is sitting around with his grandkids, he could say, I was the first guy to break $20 million. What do you think of that, kids? And they go, Dad, everybody makes $20 million now.
Yeah, they'll say, give me some cash. I got to get the streets. And Donaldson was not the only American League East third baseman coming to terms with his team on Friday. Also, the Orioles and Manny Machado came to terms on a $16 million deal for 2018, according to our own Mark Feinsand. And the deal includes incentives for awards. So, Richard, $16 million in Machado's final year of arbitration before he hits the open market at 26 years old. It's going to be a nice base and a nice age to work with in free agency.
Yeah, $4.5 million raise. You know, the good thing is they got it done. You don't have to go. You don't have to go into the arbitration room and hear the club badmouth the player. And if they are serious about this, if they're serious about keeping this group together and trying to go to the playoffs again in this 7-year run, then this is a good thing. You don't, you know, however this plays out, and I think we figure it's going to play out with him going to free agency and possibly, most likely, whatever, signing someplace else. They've had a great relationship, and let's end it on a high note. The one thing teams want to avoid their hearing room at all costs, because it's not just the money. It's nothing good happens inside that room. And I'm just wondering now, is the idea of trading Machado, signed for $16 million, pretty reasonable money for his production, do you think that's off the table for a team that's been asking for two major league ready starters this offseason?
I don't think it's off the table. I just think that more than likely, if the Orioles are going to move Machado, it more than likely would have happened by now. Because I don't know what extra desperation or, you know, incentive has kicked in since then. But obviously, they, as you just said, and they set a high price tag, which is totally understandable. I don't think this contract changes anything in terms of those conversations. If anything, Machado was projected to make, I believe, 17.3 according to MLB trade rumors. So if anything, we're working off a lower number now for his salary. But again, I mean, so many of these conversations have been had, and maybe I'm falling for the mindset of winter's past, where, you know, usually the big deals are done by now. And obviously we're in a much different world right here, but, you know, so maybe there's still a deal out there. And in some ways, I hope there is, because, you know, I worry about the Orioles' overall direction here. I just think there needs to be a rebuild mentality starting to creep in there, because, you know, this is a high value piece that a year from now is probably not a Baltimore Oriole. And, you know, there's danger in taking him into the new season. We see that with Zach Britton sustaining this injury. I mean, things happen that can compromise a guy's trade value. And, you know, had the Orioles traded Zach Britton last summer, you know, they're not in this predicament right now where they're paying him. That's the other news on Friday with the Orioles, is they agreed to a 1-year deal with Zach Britton for $12 million. His salary goes up from $11.4 million to $12 million. And he's going to pitch, you know, hopefully half a year, if that. So you can run into some difficult situations if you don't capitalize on a guy's trade value when it's present.
And it's, you know, can you contend? Can the Orioles contend? I think the hardest thing to do in this business is scout yourself. Can the Orioles contend if they go out and get two starting pitchers? I mean, it's hard for me to imagine them passing the Red Sox, Yankees, or Blue Jays. You know, crazier things than happen. They do have some money to spend, but it seems unlikely, you know. It's, you know, I think you and I would agree the best plan would be to trade him, but that's easy for us to say, yeah. You know, when you've had a guy that's meant so much to your franchise, and you do want to send a message to your fans, sorry, we're cashing out for 2018. See you in 2022 or whenever.
Right. And it's easy for us to say, not knowing what the offers are currently. And, I can understand logistically. I'm looking at the marketplace for third base and shortstop, and it's not particularly strong. You know, the number of teams looking for help in those areas. I think Mike Moustakas can attest to that right now. Right. Zach Cozart, you know, had a tremendous season at short for the Reds last year, and he's a third baseman right now. So, so I can understand that, you know, maybe the right trade just isn't out there. As much as teams have called about Machado, you know, for a 1-year rental, essentially, maybe the market isn't quite as strong as we as fans and observers might assume. So it just in terms of what teams are willing to give up for that rental. So, it's a tough one. Look, I don't say this stuff lightly. I mean, I just think that, you know, maybe there was a window that could have been capitalized on as things fell apart, quite frankly, in the second half of 2017, the team just kind of stopped scoring runs. And, you know, obviously they had the historic stretch in 2017 of just giving up 5 or more runs per game. It was not a playoff club last year. And then you run into this situation where you have so many expiring assets and big assets, your key cornerstone star players. And sometimes the earlier you make that decision to just rebuild, blow it up, and, you know, start from the ground up, you know, the sooner you can get back into contention. And the Orioles had a window midseason last year, I mentioned, with Britton. I would assume, with Machado, where maybe their trade value would have been higher then than it is today.
Yeah, you're right. And every day you wait now, it doesn't go up. Maybe at the trade deadline, one team feels it's one piece away. But if you're going to trade a guy in this situation, you got to take a look at a hard look at yourself on the 4th of July the prior year and say, okay, what's the game plan going forward? And I just think maybe the baseball people understood that, but Peter Angelos, they'd worked so owner Peter Angelos, they'd worked so hard to get people back in the back in the ballpark, and they worked so hard to be competitive again. It's hard to take that step back.
It is, yeah. And the Zach Britton news this winter was such a bummer, because if there was an avenue to really talk yourself in the Orioles, you'd feel a lot better about it with Zach Britton being a piece of the full season. That's obviously not the case now after his injury. But hey, things happen in this game. Teams sneak into contention in ways you don't imagine. I don't think any of us were sitting here a year ago and saying the Minnesota Twins are a wild card team and pounding our fist on the table and being adamant about it. I don't think even the Minnesota Twins were adamant about it. They were talking about trader Brian Dozier a year ago at this time. So contention sneaks up on you sometimes. And you mentioned, if the Orioles get another couple of pitchers, and there's a lot of pitchers still in the marketplace, and maybe they'll find some value buys and make the most of what's left of the Manny Machado era. But they agree to terms on Friday. And as you said, Richard, avoid that arbitration room. I think, be it Machado or anybody else, especially a guy who you're going to have around for a while, for a few years, staying out of that room can be a very big deal, because once you go in that room, you don't come out quite the same player, the same person, the same relationship, because things have to be said in there. For a team to argue its case against its own talent.
Yep, you're right. And so thankfully they got that done.
All right, Richard, see if you can spot a theme here, because I've got another third baseman who had a big day on Friday. Chris Bryant settled with the Cubs for $10.85 million. That is a record for a first-year arbitration eligible. The previous mark was $10 million by Ryan Howard in 2008. So Bryant was a Super 2. So much like Donaldson, he'll have four cracks at this, assuming there's not an extension along the way, which there might be. But to start out at 10.85 in your first year with three more arbitration years looming, first of all, this is the kind of stuff that got Josh Donaldson traded from the A's to the Blue Jays, was the forecast with the Super 2. But now Chris Bryant, of course, not that the Cubs are going to trade Chris Bryant, but of course, he's in a really good spot here with the Cubs.
Sometimes this player comes along who's turns out to be every bit as good as even those of us who were very optimistic thought he would be. So now in three big league seasons, he's been a rookie of the year, an MVP. He finished seventh in the MVP voting this year in 2017 with 29 home runs and 38 doubles. And you know what? If you had voted for him for the National League MVP, well, he was going to finish behind a few guys, but he was in that conversation. This guy is a great player. He gets over a $10 million raise. He's the cornerstone for what the Cubs have done. You know, and my enduring memory of him will be the last ball of the 2016 World Series is hit to him, and he's smiling as the ball goes into his glove. He knew the Cubs, that all this promise that he came with, he had delivered on it in that moment and was a world champion. So, yeah, he earned it. 111 runs, 38 doubles. He is one of those players that every other player is going to be measured against, and he's going to make a lot of money, and he's going to be pretty famous in Chicago by the time he's done.
Boy, you ain't kidding. Yeah, he just had that amazing trajectory of, college player of the year, minor league player of the year, rookie of the year, MVP. 2017, I guess, was the first year where he went backward in terms of accolades, but it was kind of funny to me, the MVP conversation. He just wasn't high in the mix last year. As you said, he finished seventh, but you compare it to his MVP year, and his OPS was higher. His OPS plus was only 3 points lower. He, walked more, struck out less. The main thing was he didn't drive in as many runs, so that's what hurt him. But it was just kind of amusing to me that the seasons were remarkably similar, and yet he was nowhere near the MVP acclaim. But the Cubs did right by Chris Bryant in the wake of his MVP year, and they could have renewed him just above the major league minimum, and they renewed him at $1 million for 2017, and now he jumps up to 10.85. I'll be fascinated to see where that relationship heads from here, because You know, I do think he is a Scott Boras client, but I do think there might be an avenue to lock him up for the long term. So we shall see.
Yeah, and I think he's a guy that might actually say to Scott, "Hey, this is where I belong. This is where I want to be."
It's pretty special there, and things change, and tastes change, and sometimes guys get an itch to see what else is out there. But in that specific circumstance, man, when you do something that hasn't been done in 108 years, you build a pretty strong friendship along the way. So
you don't pay for many dinners.
There was another third baseman, believe it or not, on Friday who had a very nice day. Again, are you seeing a theme here, Richard? Anthony Rendon agreed to terms with the Nationals for $12.3 million, according to the Washington Post. And he was a super two in his first go around. He made $2.8 million. Last year, he made $5.8 million. And this year, he more than doubles his money to $12.3 million. A guy who probably didn't get enough attention last year and probably didn't want a lot of attention last year, knowing his personality. But, in a year where they were without Bryce Harper for a stretch and the division was locked up by then. But Anthony Rendon was the Nats' most valuable player last year, and he finished sixth in the MVP voting as a result.
Yeah, he, he's a Houston kid. I live in Houston. He's a city kid, went to Lamar High School, went to Rice University. And what they'll tell you at Rice, and this is just a little side note, he's the best kid we ever had. They love him, and those of us who've been around him love him. I know he's a guy that does, as you mentioned, does not love the attention. And there was a time during the season I said to Paul Goldschmidt, I said, you're going to be the National League MVP. He goes, why? Did Anthony Rendon just retire? That's the conversation we had him in. And, of course, Giancarlo Stanton hit 59 home runs in that. And Joey Votto didn't make an out in the second half of the season, and that sort of took care of that. But he's a tremendous player, a cornerstone player, and it's a good thing it's a good thing to be Anthony Rendon right now.
Yeah, and as I mentioned, this is his third round of arbitration. He will have four as a result of being a Super Two the first time around, and we see this before. I mean, sometimes a deal is made at this stage and then eventually gets ripped up, sometimes in spring training when they come to terms on an extension. And I'm just speaking out of turn here, but I think Rendon does strike me as a potential extension candidate.
Oh, no question. But I've also noticed that the Nats have him for two more years. The Astros have Jose Altuve for two more years. Who knows? The Astros might be looking for a second baseman in 2 years. Anthony's played there before. But no, he's part of what's gotten the Nationals to this point. He was a great draft pick. 27 years old. Boy, the future's bright for Anthony Rendon.
Well, now that you've upset everybody in Houston with your talk of Jose Altuve leaving in a couple of years, I guess we'll leave it there, Richard. But obviously there was a lot of arbitration movement on Friday. And, the hope now is that free agency starts to happen. But I, kind of heard this story before, once bitten, twice shy. Heard after Giancarlo Stanton and Shohei Ohtani that now things will start happening. After the holidays, now things will start happening. After the arbitration figures exchange, now things will start happening. Perhaps we'll get to the point where it's after the All-Star break. Oh, maybe now things will start happening.
Yeah. And the dam is about to open at any moment. Or maybe not.
That's life, right? It'll happen or it won't. There's still a lot of unsettled business between now and when spring training camps open a month from now. So we'll be all over here on the Morning Lineup podcast. My thanks to Richard Justice and my thanks to you all for tuning in. We'll talk to you soon.